really want to know everything the Fed does?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. An amendment approved yesterday to the Financial System Overhaul Bill in Congress would force the Government Accountability Office to look at everything the Federal Reserve does. Critics say the measure could undermine the Fed's work. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is in the House, and Texas Republican Ron Paul has been introducing some version of this for decades now. What's he looking for?
You know, in his more extreme moments, Paul has called for abolishing the Federal Reserve outright. This time, he's got a much tamer agenda. He just wants the GAO to audit all of the Fed's business. This is really the first time in all the years that Paul has talked about this, that the idea has gotten any play at all from the more mainstream elements in Congress.
Well, a bunch of stuff the Fed does is public. The bailouts were public. Should we be demanding more transparency?
Obviously, it depends who you ask. I talked to Kenneth Kim this morning. He's a Fed watcher at a research firm called Stone and McCarthy. This is what he said.
From a public standpoint, you would like to have open, deliberative discussions regarding matters that could affect the public as well as the U.S. government.
But then he went on to tell me some of the things that worry Fed officials about having more openness. For example, when banks that are members of the Federal Reserve System borrow money from the Fed at what's called the discount window.
If it became known in advance which institutions might be approaching the discount window, then there might have been a speculative run on those institutions. And then, you know, we could have had even more failures that could have dragged the financial system down quicker.
It's also worth mentioning here that there are plenty of people, including Barney Frank, who are coming down on the side of the Fed on this one.
Okay. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us live from our New York bureau. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are off about 0.5%, a little more so this morning. Asian markets were mixed today. Dell warned that computer sales to big businesses are still sluggish. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow fell 94 points and closed at 10,332. General Motors' top sales analyst is predicting a good November. He said U.S. auto sales could top an annual rate of 10.8 million. For the first time this year without the help of cash for clunkers. And J.M. Smucker says profits more than doubled thanks to its acquiring Folgers and the fact that consumers are eating at home more.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Oprah Winfrey is expected to announce today her syndicated talk show will end in 2011. The top-rated daytime show of the past two decades has delivered an audience to the evening news. It's sold a lot of books, and it's made a guru out of its central character. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins looks at the winners and losers in today's announcement.
42 million viewers tune into Winfrey's show each week, and she's never been shy about product placement, like in this segment involving a Pontiac G6. There have been rumors Winfrey's been thinking about moving along for a long time. She's expected to start up the Oprah Winfrey Network on cable in a couple of years.
And she's given every indication that she's going to do a talk show there.
Media critic David Zurawick of the Baltimore Sun told the station WTOP that a new show on cable may increase Oprah's already sizable fortune.
As incredibly lucrative as syndication is for Oprah Winfrey, she can even make more money if she owns the channel it's on.
But cable rarely brings in the level of ratings that a network television show does. Still, Susan Harrow, the author of The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah, says the media maven's not likely to give up her audience.
I don't know what kind of technology may be on the front that we don't know about that could actually be more expansive.
No matter what, the industry is predicting this could be a major loss for the show's distributor, CBS, not to mention ABC, which also broadcasts the program on many of its big city stations. One major winner could be the woman sharing the cover of Oprah's magazine, Ellen DeGeneres. She competes with Oprah in several markets. And with Winfrey's departure, DeGeneres and her distributor, Warner Brothers, stand to gain those afternoon viewers. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Oprah did not say that she's leaving Chicago. That town has had enough bad news lately. In the past week, two big trade groups have announced they're leaving town. Today, there's talk the National Restaurant Association might look elsewhere, too. Chicago Public Radio's Susie Ahn brings us this report.
Since the 1970s, the Plastics Industry Trade Association has held its trade show in Chicago. But Plastics Barry Eisenberg says Chicago's labor costs are too high.
It takes about a week to set up the show and a week after the exhibition is over to break down and ship things out. And so all that labor cost, all that shipping costs, we found to be very expensive.
Eisenberg says the plastic show is moving to Orlando, where it expects to save about $20 million. Last week, a trade show on healthcare said it's leaving for Las Vegas. Derek Hull of the National Restaurant Association wouldn't comment on rumors that his group would follow suit, but he says Chicago's labor costs have always been a challenge.
Many of our exhibitors continue to voice their concerns. Those exhibiting companies do conventions elsewhere in the country, including the cities of Orlando and Vegas.
Chicago's convention leaders say they're trying to make Chicago more competitive. They say other cities have the backing of state and local governments, while Chicago operates completely from trade show revenue. From Chicago, I'm Susie Ahn for Marketplace.
And finally, have you ever said, wow, those brownies are addictive? How right you were. Researchers at Scripps Research Institute in Florida gave rats unlimited access to Ho-Hos, candy bars, and sausage, and they became compulsive overeaters. They went for the junk food, even when it meant getting a slight shock to their foot. They refused a more nutritious food pellet, even when they were hungry. In other words, they were addicted. So watch what you eat, and don't be so hard on yourself. This is Marketplace Morning Report. Join us online for a look at how economics plays out in your workplace. Those videos are in our Department of Behavioral Economics, and they're at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.